Hello, is that Margaret?
It is.
Hi, this lad was calling from MMA Legal. Are you okay?
I'm good, thanks.
I am just calling to do your witness statement today. Is that still okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So just for data protection, I do need to confirm a few details. So are you okay to confirm your data?
Yeah. 13/12/1975.
And your postcode?
SK10 1BL.
Thank you. And just to remind you, calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes.
Okay.
Okay. So, the purpose of today's call is to take a detailed witness statement about your time in care, what happened to you, how it affected you, and what evidence may exist. I'll guide you through the questions in order. Some questions may feel difficult, but you can take a break at any time.
Uh-huh.
I may need to bring us back to the timeline if we move too far ahead.
Okay.
That's just so we can make sure your statement's clear and complete.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so can you just confirm your full name, please?
Margaret Bullen.
Thank you. And then also your contact number?
077-437-56693.
Thank you. Okay, so are you comfortable and happy to continue today?
Yeah.
And do you need anyone with you?
No, I'm okay.
Or any other adjustments?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, so if you do need a break at any point, just let me know.
Will do.
Okay, and if I do go quiet, I am just typing up your responses, okay?
Okay.
Okay, do you understand the purpose of the statement and agree that it may be used for your Scottish redress application and support and evidence?
I do.
Okay, so there is a few sections that we need to go through. So the first one will be personal background and your entry into care. So the first one is, where did you grow up?
I lived in Kerry in Stirling.
And how would you spell that, please?
C-O-W-I-E.
C-O-W-I-E. Okay. And who did you live with before care?
My mum and my stepdad.
Okay. So what was your home life like before care?
It wasn't very great. My stepfather, he was abusing me.
I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, and how was your education? So, were you in school?
I was in school, yeah. But I went from one school to another school, so I never really got any education.
Okay. And was there any social work difficulties?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what were they?
I had a social worker.
Okay. Okay, so how did you come to enter care?
So my stepfather had beat me up and I went to the school and I had a black eye.
Okay.
And teacher asked me what happened and I told her.
Okay, and do you know who made this decision for you to go into care?
Well, social workers, Kate, the child protection and the police came to the house that night.
The child protection and the police?
Yeah.
And were you told the reason why?
Yeah, and they questioned him and he said that he wasn't sorry and if I kept being horrible or nasty that he would do it again. And that's when they decided to take me in for my own protection.
Yeah. Excuse me. Okay, have you got any siblings at all?
I've got 3 siblings. I have 2 brothers and a sister.
2 brothers and a sister, was that?
Yeah.
Okay. And were you separated from any of them?
Yeah, they were left at home and I was taken into care.
Okay, so how old were you when you first entered care?
I think I was 12.
And how did you feel at the time?
Scared, lonely, abandoned. Like my mum didn't believe anything I told her.
Yeah. Okay, is there anything important about your childhood health or learning needs or vulnerabilities that should be recorded?
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, so we have got your care settings, the records back from the council. So they do say that you were placed in a youth care centre and a children's home. So the youth centre was Weedings Hall.
That's right.
And Dock Street.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And would you mind telling me the locations of these places?
Weedens Hall is in Polmont, Polmont.
Thank you. And then Dock Street?
That was in Carron Shore, Carronshore.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you about each individual care.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, we'll go through one at a time. So, Weedings Hall will be the first one. So, do you know the approximate dates that you went into that care?
I don't know. I don't remember dates. I think it was about March.
Okay, and who was it that placed you there?
Social services.
Okay, and what type of setting was it?
It was like a huge building with 3 units in it. So there was a different age groups and different units.
With 3 units in?
Yeah.
And how long were you there?
Just a few months.
Okay. Okay, so what was the daily life like in that care setting?
Well, at first they would let me go to school, but because I didn't want to be there, I wouldn't come back. I would go and the police would be called to bring me back. When I did come back, they used to make me stay in my room for 24 hours with no duvet, no shoes, no nothing, so you couldn't run away. They would bring food to the door. They would just weren't very nice to me.
Yeah. So no food and no duvet.
And then if I retaliated by shouting and screaming, they used to restrain me by holding my arms up my back, forcing my face into the floor, being left very sore, covered in bruises, crying.
Yeah.
And they would sit on top of you and wouldn't let you go until you calmed down. Sometimes it could have been one person, it could have been two.
Yeah.
And then you would be punished by, they would take your shoes off you and you weren't allowed out for a week. They'd stop all your money. Like, they wouldn't give you any bus fares.
Yeah.
They would just make you sit in this room.
And was that different to your bedroom or a different room?
Well, it was either your bedroom or like a room that, like a living room type, living elsewhere.
Yeah. Okay, and what was the food like?
It's just whatever was put in front of you and you had to eat it. It was brought from my kitchen, so it was, sometimes it could have been fish fingers and chips, just whatever it was, that's what you get. If you don't eat it, you starve, basically.
Yeah. And was you provided with any clothing when you arrived at this care centre?
I don't recall ever being given clothing from that place. It was whatever you had with you when you came.
Yeah. Was you allowed contact with your family?
To start with, not.
And did they gradually let you contact them?
Well, I wouldn't get to contact them, but they would like set up so that I could go home for a couple of hours.
Oh, okay.
And then if I was there and I was upset and I didn't want to come home, that's when they would restrain you again and basically drag you out your mum's house.
Yeah.
Letting other kids see it and...
Yeah.
Having me crying, my mum crying.
Yeah.
It was awful.
So was this just a few hours at home or was it like an overnight stay?
No. It was just a couple hours here and there.
Okay. Okay, so how did the staff treat you in this place?
They just treated me like they were just there because they were getting paid. They never showed you any affection. They used to tease me because they knew that my family came from gypsies.
Yeah. And how were the other children with you?
Some of them, actually, I remember being jumped and beat on when the staff weren't around and you were too scared to say anything. And it was always like the bigger kids.
Yeah.
And there was times I would be in my bed, scared to come out the room. Scared to be left alone with any of them.
Yeah. Okay, so what were the rules that you had to abide by?
You had to be in at a certain time. You had to go to school and come straight home. Basically, that was it.
And if you didn't follow them rules, what would the punishments be?
Well, if you ran away, the police would be sent to bring you back. If you lashed out, you'd be restrained. You would get no money. You weren't allowed to go anywhere. You just had to sit in the unit.
Yeah.
They would stop your bus fares. They would stop everything for a month.
Okay, so the next question is, did anything happen there that you now consider abuse, neglect or harmful? That, so that's categorised into four sections. So it can be sexual, physical, emotional or neglect.
Physical and emotional.
Obviously, it's just the things that you just described before.
Yeah.
Okay. So who were the main people involved or responsible for this?
Carers. Some of the younger kids, well, the older kids, older than me. If you complain, like if you told them that other kids are beating you up, they would just laugh at you.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything about it.
Okay, were there any names or descriptions that you remember?
They used to call me a dirty little tinker.
Okay. And was this the carers?
This was the carers, yeah. And they used to tell the kids, oh, she comes from the gypsies and her mum and dad are tinkers and stuff like that.
Yeah. Can you give one main example of a time when you were abused?
Well, one time I was jumped off two girls and physically beaten up when the staff wasn't there. And mm-hmm. I was so upset and scared that I wouldn't tell anyone. And then I started, like, self-harming.
Yeah. And where did this happen?
It happened outside when you were allowed to wander around the gardens.
Okay. And was there other people around when this happened?
Just the kids. And another time I tried to run away. But they had my shoes, so I ran through the woods, and one of the staff were chasing me, and one of them dragged me by the hair back to the unit.
Oh, God. And this was by a staff member?
Yeah.
And what happened after this?
That's when I was put in my room, basically told to stay in the room. You weren't allowed out for 24 hours. You weren't even allowed to go for a shower. At this stage, I was, like, filthy, covered in mud. And,
yeah.
Totally distraught, and they just locked the door and left me in there.
Yeah. And how often did this happen?
At least once or twice a week. They even stopped me going to school. They refused to let me go to school because I would keep running away.
Yeah.
So they made me do like my schooling in like in a little kind of classroom that was attached to the home.
Just so you couldn't get out.
Yeah.
And was there any changes, or did it just become worse?
It was just constant. It was all the time, just the same things over and over again.
Yeah.
It got to a stage that I just withdrew. I just believed that that was where I was going to be, and that was it.
Yeah. Just accepted it.
Yeah. Just thought that was the way you were supposed to be treated in places like that.
Yeah. Okay, so in regards to the abuse that you did receive, what immediate effects did you experience? So there can be pain or injury, fear, sleep problems.
Fear, sleep problems. At the time, anxiety, but I didn't know it was anxiety.
Yeah.
Had thoughts of killing myself.
And was that straight after it happened, or did that just come along?
That just came along. That was after all the abuse. And
yeah. Does anyone witness it or know about it?
Just probably some of the kids would have seen it and just laughed, as thinking it was jokes and things like that. But a lot of it was like when nobody was around, you know?
Yeah. And did anyone experience anything similar?
A lot of the children had the same sort of things, being restrained.
Yeah.
And
so it was just a common occurrence.
Yeah.
Did you tell anyone or try and get help from this?
I never said anything. I just kind of kept it to myself because I was too scared to say anything in case I would get into more trouble.
Yeah. Okay, so we can move on to the Dock Street Children's Home placement.
Uh-huh.
So do you know approximately when you arrived there?
I'm not sure.
Okay. And do you know who placed you there?
Well, we had a panel, and they said because Williams Hall was only for, like, to keep you there to decide where you were going, the social services said that they wouldn't let me go home because it wasn't safe.
Yeah.
So that's when they put me there.
And what type of setting was this one?
It was like a big house.
And did it look different to the previous one?
Yeah, the other place was more like an institute sort of place, and this one was more like a big family house.
Yeah. And how long were you there?
About 3 years, I think.
Okay. Okay, so just in a few sentences, what was the ordinary daily life like there?
So that was more like you could go to school, and they had someone that like did the washing, and they had each carer would take turns of cooking food. And you had your own bedroom.
Yeah. And was it more than just a bed?
Like a bed and a wardrobe.
Yeah. And was the routines that you have to follow in here? So just getting up at a certain time or being in at a certain time?
Being in at a certain time, getting up at a certain time, eating at certain times. Everything was regimental. In this place, you had a care worker.
And was it individually assigned, or was there a few people
to
one?
So each person had their own worker.
And was you provided with adequate meals?
Well,
you
got fed
a few...
I don't actually recall what we got to eat, to be honest with you, but if you got fed if you were there. If you weren't in, you didn't get fed. And they used to lock the kitchen at a certain time.
Yeah.
So if you didn't get fed, you would starve to the next day.
Yeah.
It was just whatever that person could cook, and they would just make something.
And how was the clothing or the hygiene in this place? Were you allowed to shower regularly? Were you provided
any food? Yeah, you were allowed to shower. You got so much money, like £3 a month, that you had to buy toiletries from.
Okay.
And if you behaved, like if you didn't run away or you went to school and that, they would give you like certain money every month that you could buy maybe an item of clothing or something like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the clothing your parents were supposed to bring in for you.
Yeah. And was you allowed contact with your family, or did they arrange any visits?
They arranged me to go to Campbelltown to see my dad twice. I didn't see my mum very often. She only came when she got a free ride up there to see me from the social worker.
Yeah. And how did the staff treat you in this place?
The basic, it was like they were obliged to make sure you were fed and watered. They weren't very affectionate. It was the same as the last home. If you rebelled or anything, you got restrained again, you got locked in your room, they would stop all your money.
Yeah.
The care worker that I had... I can still remember his name, actually. Steve Dench was his name.
Steve Dench.
Yeah. And he basically used to say things like... Well, he always called me a gypo.
Yeah.
Where does your gypo family come from? Do they still live in caravans? Do you want to go for a shower because you stink?
Yeah.
Just belittling me all the time.
Yeah. Just nasty things.
Yeah.
And how were the other children with you?
Not very nice. There was a few girls that used to be very good friends, and there was times when they used to kick my bedroom door in. There was times I was dragged out of bed. I was beaten up. They would steal all my stuff. They one time put nails and everything in my bed. I was actually scared to go to sleep sometimes because I could hear them all outside the door.
Yeah.
I was constantly bullied all the time, and the staff wouldn't do anything about it. They would just laugh it off. And I remember one time Steve Dench said, "I don't know why you're scared. I thought all you tinkers could fight."
Yeah.
"You need to stick up for yourself."
So when you told, did you tell anyone about the other children beating you up?
Yeah, I would tell the staff, but nothing would be done about it. They would say, yeah, I'll have a word with them.
Yeah, and then nothing happened.
Nothing happened. I used to run away. I used to be away for like overnight and things just so that I could be with my friends and stay away from it all.
Yeah.
They basically bullied me out because I turned 16 and they said, like, you can stay for 2 years to get help, to get, like, housing and all that, or you can leave when you're 16. And they actually bullied me out there, so I had to leave. And I had nowhere to go.
So they bullied you out at 16?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next question was, did anything happen there now that you'd consider abuse? But obviously, with the previous question, you did explain through what the children used to do with you.
Yeah, I think that they just targeted me because the staff had told them that I came from a gypsy family.
Yeah.
I remember one time I got drunk and I was shouting and screaming. And the staff took me out of there and took me to a secure unit and made me sit there for 24 hours. And basically said, this is where you're going to end up. They threatened that I was going, was left there and I wouldn't get out.
Yeah.
And they told me that the only place I would be going was prison.
Really?
Yeah.
And was the room that they locked you in the same building?
Yeah. All the rooms had locks on the doors.
Yeah. So who was involved in this or responsible? That you
whatever staff was on at the time.
Yeah.
So there would be like shift, it'd be shift work, so there'd be like different ones coming in at different times.
Yeah. So just think, give one example of what happened and where and when it occurred. When did it occur?
Well, I remember one night I was lying on my bed and I was physically dragged out of the bed by three girls, pulled by the hair, kicked and punched. And then they all ran out the room. I was crying. I didn't see anything right there and then. But then I went downstairs and I reported it to the staff. And they went, oh, I'll have a word with them.
Yeah.
And it was just left. Nothing was ever said.
Was this in the middle of the night?
This was probably about 11 o'clock at night, yeah.
So after this happened, did anything come from that? What happened after it?
Nothing. It was just made out it didn't happen.
Okay. And how often did this happen?
Every couple of months, anyway. Like when the new, because sometimes the kids would leave and the new kids would come in, and then they would start like being friends with other ones, and it would all just start again.
Yeah.
They used to steal my clothes and hide them, so that I didn't have a jacket to wear and things like that.
Yeah.
And when I complained to the staff, they would just say, oh, we'll have a look for it. But things would never turn up.
Yeah. And what were the effects that you suffered from this happening?
Well, I don't trust anyone. I take panic attacks. I'm on antidepressants. I've had to seek out counselling a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
It's affected my children. I wouldn't let my kids out to play. I was constant in fear they would get hurt or someone would try and take them off me.
Yeah.
I don't have any friends. I don't go out. My partner, I have a partner and he basically runs me to work in the morning. I only work part-time.
Yeah.
Just to try and have some sort of life. I get taxis back from work. I don't go out, don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Every time a letter comes through the door that I don't know who it's from, my heart starts racing.
Yeah. Noted that down for you. In regards to the abuse in the care setting, so did you experience anything at that time as a child?
Well, I used to get really scared all the time and nervous as a child, like jittery, and like sometimes I would just lie in my bed with the lights off, just scared and just sometimes wishing that I wasn't here.
Yeah. Did anyone witness it or know about it?
Well, I mean, I've told my partner everything that's happened to me. You know, I don't have any communication with my family, my siblings, or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because I held a lot of remorse because they stayed at home and
yeah,
you know, so I have no family. I don't have any communication with any of them.
So and the times that you were allowed visits with your parents or anything like that, did you inform them of what you were going through?
No, I never told anybody. Because I just thought it was normal, that's how you got treated in there.
Yeah. Did anyone witness any, I mean, experience anything similar? Like any of you? No.
No. My mum just told everybody that I was a troublemaker because I kept running away, but the reason I kept running away and staying out and getting into trouble was because my stepfather was abusing me. I couldn't be in the same house as him when she wasn't in.
Yeah.
The police got involved, but because, like, he was sexually abusing me as well, but because it was his word against mine, I never went to court or anything.
Yeah. Okay, and did you try and get any help from this?
Not
at the
time.
Sorry.
Not at the time.
Okay. Okay, so what was different at this placement compared with the other?
This was meant to be a family home where you could grow up and have an easier life. where the other place was just, you were just a number.
Yeah.
But I just feel I was let down by the whole system.
Yeah. Okay, so across both of the placements, who were the main people responsible? So if you can identify anybody at all, such as roles, nicknames, names, or descriptions.
Oh, the only person's name I remember is that one man.
Yeah.
And there was a woman called Yvonne there. I remember she was there. But I don't recall. I've kind of blocked a lot of it out in my mind because of my mental health.
Yeah, of course. So across both of the placements, what were the children affected by the abuse, or did you witness abuse that happened to anyone else?
I witnessed girls slashing their wrists. I witnessed one girl running away to London. I witnessed young kids wet in the bed, crying at night. I witnessed another girl swallowing a razor blade.
That couldn't have been nice for you.
No.
Okay, why do you believe the staff or the institution knew or should have known what was happening?
They should have known, but they didn't care. They were just there to get paid.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
So in both of these places, were complaints discouraged or ignored or punished?
Ignored.
And were you removed, threatened or disbelieved whenever you complained?
Well, they never believed me. They just told me it was nonsense.
Yeah.
I wasn't threatened, but I remember one time I was told that better watch what you're saying because if it gets back to the other children, it'll just keep happening.
Yeah.
So to me, that was me being told just to be quiet.
Yeah. So that was a threat in itself, basically.
Yeah.
Have you ever reported the abuse to police?
No.
Have you reported it to a professional or any other authority figure?
No.
Okay, so the next section is moving between placements and leaving the care. So, why did you move between placements?
Because the first one was just an assessment unit to see where they were going to put you.
Okay. Did you ever run away?
Yeah, I used to run away quite a lot.
And did you ever ask to be moved?
I don't remember.
And then when you ran away, what happened?
They would send the police looking for you. They would go to my mum's house, like the police would. And then when the police got you, they would just pick you up and take you back. And that's when they would threaten me with, if you keep running away, we'll put you on like another order that keeps you there till you're 18.
Yeah.
If we can put you to a secure unit where you can't get out.
Okay, what age were you when you left the care?
16.
What were your circumstances after this?
Well, I went to the council and that, and the council put me in a homeless accommodation. So I had to share a room in a homeless house with some other girl.
You had to share a house with another girl.
Yeah. I wasn't there very long. I was only there a few weeks. Then social services got in contact with my dad, and I managed to go and live with my dad.
Yeah. Okay, so in your time in the care settings overall, how did the experience affect you at the time? So this can be trust, confidence.
Traumatized me. I didn't trust anyone. I didn't believe in myself. I believed that I was just being punished because I wasn't good enough. I believed I just got beat up because I came from a gypsy background.
Yeah.
I was just angry and just didn't trust in the system.
Yeah.
I didn't trust that there was anyone that I could talk to. I didn't feel safe enough.
And did this affect your sleeping?
Well, since I've had my own kids, I didn't sleep very well. Because
Yeah.
I've always had a fear of something happening to them and ending up in the system. And there was a time when I was drinking quite a lot, and just so I could go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
My relationship broke down with my kids' dad because I didn't feel secure, and I
Yeah.
was like, just everything just fell apart because there was no trust in anything. Didn't trust anyone.
And do you suffer with any anxiety, depression?
I suffer with anxiety and depression.
And any self-harm or suicidal thoughts?
When I was in care, I did self-harm. I was kind of
Yeah.
cutting my wrists with razor blades and things. I don't self-harm anymore, but I have a lot of horrible thoughts.
Yeah. So how has this affected for your physical health?
I'm constantly tired. I have no motivation. Constantly headaches and just, I've been to the doctor with a lot of pain. They said it was put down to fibromyalgia. They
Yeah.
said it was through something that's affected me earlier in life.
Yeah.
So my day-to-day life isn't good. I'm in constant pain all the time, and feel crap, can't sleep, don't eat very much.
Yeah.
Sometimes when things get hard, I turn to alcohol.
Yeah.
And this can go on for months at a time. I feel like I've let my kids down.
Yeah. I'm sorry for the little break, because I am just typing up what you said.
Yeah.
Okay, so how has it affected your education or work?
I don't have an education. Any jobs that I've done has been like cleaning toilets, waitressing,
yeah.
Just kind of minimum wage jobs. I've always struggled for money.
Yeah. Okay, so are there any triggers, places, smells, or situations that you avoid because of this?
I can't go anywhere that's noisy, like McDonald's or supermarkets, without someone with me. I can't go to a pub where there's loads of noise. If there's any screaming or shouting, it makes my anxiety really bad.
Yeah.
Can't go anywhere, like when my kids were small, we couldn't go anywhere that there was a lot of people around.
Yeah.
Once I come home from work, I don't leave the house.
Yeah. Okay, so your time in the care settings, what impact has this had on your life overall?
I think it's had a big impact. I think it's knocked my self-confidence. It's made me to be a very angry and insecure person.
Yeah.
I feel like I've missed out on a lot. And I feel like my children's missed out on a lot.
Because of this?
Because of that, yeah.
Yeah.
My kids don't have any grandparents that they can go see or anything, so they've missed out on family life.
And what do you think may have been different if this hadn't have happened?
I think I could have had a better education, a good job. Could have been a better mum. And could have had maybe a good house. And like I tried to start driving, but I was too nervous.
Yeah. So it's just restricted your overall, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, so have you received any counselling or
therapy? I've had counselling. I went to Open Secret counselling a few years ago, and then the doctor set me up with counselling as well. And I've been on medication now for quite a few years.
Have you been diagnosed with any relevant conditions?
The doctor just said it's depression, but mostly anxiety. And the doctor said about the pain, where I'm constantly in pain all the time, he said that it's fibromyalgia.
And have you been taking any related medication?
They gave me medication a few years ago, but I found it didn't help. So now I just live off painkillers.
And are you receiving any support now?
No. I tried to get in contact with my mental health team and a doctor a few months ago, but they said it would take months and months to even get an appointment.
Yeah. Have you previously made any civil claim, criminal injuries claim, or redress application about this abuse?
No.
Did you receive any payment, apology, or settlement from
No.
this? No.
No.
Okay, so the next question is, why are you applying to the Scottish Redress Scheme and what would you like to come from telling your story?
I would like for rules to change and for other kids not to go through what I had to go through.
And what would the acknowledgement mean to you?
It would make me feel like at least someone's believed me, that I can let my past go.
And is there anything else that you want Redress Scotland to understand about what happened or the harm that you've lived with?
I think that these people should be vetted more.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't happen again.
Okay, so is there anything important that we have not covered or any wording that you want handling carefully?
I think that's it.
Okay, how do you feel about after discussing this?
Very emotional. I've actually got tears in my eyes.
I'm sorry that you've had to go through this and have to bring it all up. So when we do, would you feel safe to end the call? We're not ending it now. Still got a few things to go over, but
yeah.
Do you feel okay, yeah?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'll be all right.
Is there someone that you can contact for support, or would you like some support service details?
I've got my partner. He's really good.
Oh, good. That's good. It's good that you can talk about it all.
Yeah.
Someone to share it with.
He's the only person I trust. I've managed
yeah.
to speak to him about it over the years.
That's right. That's good. Okay, so after this statement, have the next steps been explained?
Say that again, sorry.
After we finish this statement, have the next steps been explained to yourself?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I will write the statement up. It's got to be just checked over. Then it'll be sent to you so you can sign off to see that it's an honest reflection of what we've talked about.
Uh-huh.
Once we've received that back, you'll then have to go through an ID verification call. So that'll be with the claims manager and a solicitor. So you'll just you'll just need to hold your ID up to your face. It'll be a video
call.
Oh,
right, okay.
Just so that we can confirm your identity.
Yeah.
Then once we've done that, we can corroborate all your statements, all the evidence, and then we can send the application off to redress.
Okay.
Before we end the call, is there anybody that you could provide us with to give us a supporting statement to strengthen the case?
You could speak to my partner.
It's entirely up to you.
Yeah, he's probably the best one to talk to.
Would you mind giving me his name and contact number?
Yeah, his name's John Ballingham. So it's Ballingham.
Mhm.
And do you want his phone number or his email?
Phone number, please.
1 minute, I need to get to my phone.
Yeah, that's okay.
So it's 078
6438. Mhm. Yep.
Did you get that?
Yes, I've got up to now 078 6438.
Hang on, 1 minute. Let me just. It's hard for me to get it because I'm on the phone with you, so...
Sorry.
078 6438 7641.
Perfect. 078 6438 7641.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So, I think that's all we have to go through today. Thank you very much for your time. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Could I just get your phone number or whoever's going to contact me, because I get a lot of spam calls and I don't answer them.
No, of course. I will give you it now. Just give me 2 seconds.
Okay.
It's 0161.
Uh huh.
570.
Uh huh.
0550.
Okay. No bother.
Okay, so we'll be in touch with you if that's okay.
Yep, that's fine.
Thank you so much for your time today, Margaret.
All right, thank you.
You take care now.
Right, and you. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.